that they may be condemned, who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Is that not? This is New Testament. This is still ongoing. When Isaiah said, listen, God's ears aren't stopped, his hands aren't short, he can hear you, he can reach you, your sins have separated you from him. What's he supposed to do? Put a bonnet on the filth you bring to him? You bring your filth to him and you confess it, God washes it away. He doesn't make it okay. He makes you okay.
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Pastor Rick is currently teaching through the book of Colossians. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. But for now, let's join Pastor Rick in the book of Colossians chapter 4 with today's edition of Cross Reference Radio.
Verse 3. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, it's a nice little segue into coming from Masters and be vigilant in prayer. And he says, meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Man, is this not incredible? He does it rather nonchalantly, like, hey, also, pray for me. But he's not saying, pray that I find a spouse, nothing wrong with that. He's not saying, pray that I find a job, nothing wrong with that. He's not saying, pray, get me out of jail, nothing wrong with that. His priority's in another place when it comes to people. No doubt, he said, I can pray for those things myself. Not that it's wrong to ask others to pray. But what draws me to this is he is saying, pray that I can preach, that I can continue to do the things that landed me in jail. That doesn't make any sense. Meanwhile, praying also for us. Paul did not see himself as a big shot, but he directed them that God would open to us a door for the word. To get the word out. That's what Paul's life was all about. Getting the word out. Why couldn't he have just simply become a Christian and then gotten himself a little villa somewhere on the Mediterranean Sea and just penned books and memoirs, superlatives of the Christian faith by Paul of Tarsus? No, he goes out. You know, Hemingway, a writer many years ago, worldling, ended his own life. It's a very tragic story. But Hemingway, when he ran out of things to write, he'd go do something to try to come up with something to write. I don't know the depth of his adventures, but he would like go join an army somewhere and go to war so he could come back and write about these things. Paul, he simply wanted to get the word out, and it became scripture for us. And so, we're reminded of Jeremiah. Remember, Jeremiah was incarcerated during the siege of Jerusalem, the final siege of Jerusalem, in the days of Jeremiah. The last king, Zedekiah, summoned him out of the dungeon. And he asked Jeremiah, did he have a word for him from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, yes, the same thing I've been telling you, the same thing that has caused you to slap me around and throw me in jail and leave me to die of starvation. It's the same message. And he told it yet again. He didn't back down. He said, well, look, this stuff's getting me in trouble. It's not working. Doesn't work for me. But he lets him have it. He doesn't back down. He doesn't apologize for God's word. He says, I'm a prophet. God has sent me to this message. Here, you have been served. If you've ever been served a subpoena, it's not a very pleasant feeling. And when you serve the gospel to someone, you have subpoenaed them. You have an appointment before the judgment seat of God. You, your conscience, and yourself will be there. And God will be too. Or you can skip the court date and bring judgment on yourself. Now you'll have an outstanding warrant. And in the end, it is eternal carceration. That is the sentence. The radical move by this man, Paul. Pray for me that I can get another chance to preach. And if I go to jail for that too, well, that's how it happens when you get the word out. He says, speak the mystery of Christ. To the world, the gospel is a mystery. The carnal man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, nor can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned, we're told in Romans chapter 8. You need the Holy Spirit. You will not understand God's word without God. Ever. Asterisk there. Except the convictions and rebukes that come from it. The world understands that very clearly. That's why they hate us. They want out from it. They want their sin to be made legal. Is that not how the system works in this country? You find a law that you don't like, well, then you lobby to reverse it. You can't do that with God. He says, for which I am also in chains. Paul didn't wear spectacles as I do. But if he did, and he would have, every time he went to adjust them while he was writing this letter, you'd hear him clink. Every time he moved the stylist, every time he lifted a fork, every time he made a gesture with his arms and hands, you'd hear the chain rattle. He wasn't Caesar's prisoner. He was Christ's prisoner. And he owned it. He was good with that. His preaching landed him in jail, so he wrote. God made a way for the word to get out. In verse 4, he continues, he says, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Again, that's Jeremiah that we referred to. That I can reveal it to those who know nothing, who are in darkness about God's way. God had sent Amos the prophet to the northern kingdom. Amos was viewed as the bumpkin from the country. He was a man from Tekoa. He was out of town. He was an imported prophet. You know, we don't cotton to your type around here, partner. They liked Amos so long as he was preaching against their enemies. But when he turned his ministry upon their own sin, all of a sudden they hated him. And that's how it is to this day. Pastors are free to preach about other people's sins. Just don't bring it home. Because if they do, oh boy, we're going to find another church that won't do that. Shameful is what it is. Practiced too often. Amos chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. Thus says Jehovah, for three transgressions of Judah and for four, I will not turn away its punishment because they have despised the law of the Lord and have not kept his commandments. Their lies lead them astray, lies which their fathers followed. But I will send a fire upon Judah, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem. That was Jeremiah's message, and that happened just as it was promised. They despised the commandments of God. It was an inconvenience. They wanted to sell goods, for example, on the Sabbath day. And they resented anybody upholding the law of God. But they still wanted to be known as children of Abraham, followers of the faith. They did not want to give that up. It only worked one way with them. He says, as I ought to speak, he was concerned that maybe he would back out, chicken out. He was concerned that maybe he would find himself in a place where he feared yet another beating. And it's one thing to be beaten up for the gospel. It's another thing to be beaten up 3, 4, 5, 6 times for the gospel. This man bore in his body the marks of Christ and around his wrists the chains of Christ, but he would never trade those chains for the chains of legalism, self-righteousness, of antinomianism. That's lawlessness in Jesus' name, without law. Just give me that salvation and get, God. Keep your hands off me. That is what lawlessness is. Trying to uphold the word of God is not legalism. Legalism is subjecting another to rules and regulations that God does not subject people to. And simply because certain things are mentioned in the scripture does not automatically mean they are mandated. To get to the bottom of these things, God has raised up pastors and teachers. Pastors should be teachers. I don't know how you can pastor without teaching. When you have pastors just pastoring and not teaching, you have a problem that the sheep are subject to, and that is they are not led to green pastures, but dirt fields. There's nothing to graze on, just dirt. It is disappointing to hear Christians say, yeah, I'm not getting fed in that church, but God has me there. I doubt that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside the still waters. He leads me to green pastures. That's how he works as a shepherd. A shepherd does not lead the sheep to where there is no food. And for us, the food is God's word. We feed upon God's word. And what we read in print is Jesus Christ in the spirit, because the word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, the only begotten of the Father. No one has ever come from the Father like Jesus Christ. We have in the sense that we are created from the Father, but we're not equal with him. We are not dispatched from the Father. And so, trying to get their eyes off themselves, Paul says, preach the word, pastors, be ready, in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort, with all long suffering and teaching. Have I had a problem with any of those mandates as pastor to convince? Yes, sometimes I get tired of convincing of the same lesson. This is like 200 times. Well, then go do something else. Can you imagine a cook getting tired of chopping? Couldn't cook anything. I did this last week with the celery. Now you got parsley in front of me. You don't really need it anyway. But anyway, rebuke. It's never pleasant. Fear shuts down all other feelings. Shuts them right down. When a pastor fears, all the other avenues of his ministry shut down. Can't convince, can't rebuke, can't even encourage. He says, with all long suffering. That means dealing with other people. Years ago, when I lived in New York, my father was a motorman. He was the one that drove the trains for 30 years, or I don't know, 200 years, however long it was. It was many years. My second oldest brother was, and my third oldest brother was. I said, oh no, we got a problem here. These guys think they have a dynasty going on here. So when they said, hey, look, the test is out, go take it and become one of us. I was like, deal with people? Are you kidding? Are you crazy? Be a public servant? Me dealing with other people? No, you have it. So I went my merry way. Then I found out you really can't get away from people. First off, you're one. So wherever you go, you are. And you got to deal with that. And that's an indicator that this is not going well. So my point is, And when God called me to the pastorate, I had injured on a job. I was out getting therapy, and when I was being therapized, it's a good word. You should look it up. It's on Wikipedia. God called me to ministry. And as soon as I recognized it, it was like, Lord, but I don't like people. And it was like, no comeback. It's just, you called. Like, what are you going to do? So to be able to minister that call, you better learn how to long suffer, else you cannot do what you're called to do by the one you love so much. Yeah, he got me again. That's how God is. He knows what he's doing. He's ingenious at putting us where we would never have put ourselves and bringing out of that fruit, much lasting fruit, if we just submit to it. Long-suffering. And so what I've had to learn over the years is when things are not pleasant in my role as pastor, I have to say, wait a minute, it is an honor to stand to this. This is not a rebuke. There are a lot of things I don't like to do if my flesh were given license. An example, marriage counseling before they get married, premarital counseling, is very time-consuming. It's a lot of work, but it's worth it. It's worth it. So what I'm trying to talk about is us as Christians owning who we are with joy. Listen, it says the joy of the Lord is my strength, not the joy of the Lord is my joy. Huh. That doesn't work out right. Again, get another pencil. Try that again. It's not the pencil. No matter how many times you do the equation, it's going to come out the same way. The joy of the Lord is my strength. God needs strong Christians. Paul was one. Jeremiah was one. Esther was one. They're all over the scripture. They're all over the world. Just make sure you be one of them. To enter into our faith, to possess it, to take hold of it, to take charge of what God has entrusted us with. It's an honor, it's a privilege to make it known. And so listen to what he says in verse 5. Walk in wisdom, don't walk without it, toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. From the bottom of the verse up, redeeming the time. Don't be dilly-dallying. That's what that means. Learn how to manage time. It belongs to God. You can't save it for later on. It's moving all the time. Move with it. There are times when your redemption of time involves rest, coming apart, not falling apart, but coming apart from other people and taking rest. I look forward to my days off as a pastor because I know I need them, not because I want them. Sometimes I don't want them. Sometimes I want to dig right back in. But I know what God has taught me. And so I want to live that way, and it works out better for not only me, but my family, which sometimes I don't think I try hard enough to keep at ease when moods come my way. That hit every one of us. And so he says, walk in wisdom towards those who are outside. You see the difference between the insider and the outsider? The outsider rejects God, therefore will be rejected by God. Revelation 22, verses 14 and 15. Blessed are those who do his commandments. Can't get away from that in Scripture. All the way to the last book, the last chapter, is still this stuff about commandments. And then he says, that they may have the right to the tree of life. That's what I want. The right to the tree of life. And may enter through the gates into the city. That's what I want. I want to be an insider. You know, I want God to say, yeah, come on in. Do whatever you want to do. Eat whatever you want to eat. You're free. You are a free man. And then he says, but outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. To the Thessalonians, he talked more about this attitude with lying, dishonesty. See, only the conscience can engage lying to yourself and to others with glee or with no bother. He says, the coming of the lawless one, this is Antichrist, is according to the working of Satan, because Satan is the father of lies. That's why he continues with all power. Well, you get something by lying, you get power, but it's only temporary. With all power, signs, lying, wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, amongst those who are going to hell. Then he says, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, and that they may be condemned, who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Is that not? This is New Testament. This is still ongoing. When Isaiah said, listen, God's ears aren't stopped, his hands aren't short, he can hear you, he can reach you, your sins have separated you from him. What's he supposed to do? Put a bonnet on the filth you bring to him? You bring your filth to him and you confess it, God washes it away. He doesn't make it okay. He makes you okay. The righteousness of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 1, I'll take three verses, 24, 26, 28. It says, therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their flesh to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Verse 26, for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use of what is against nature. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. 24 is God gave them up to uncleanness. 26 is God gave them up to vile passions. 28 is that God gave them over to a debased mind. God gave them over. If you insist upon lying to me, God says, fine, I will choose the lies you believe in because I'm sovereign. If I have come to the realization, well, God doesn't really come to a realization, but if I can say it that way, because God knows everything, nothing dawns on him. God doesn't come up with a good idea. He's got it all already. And to put it this way so we can grasp it, if he says, you know what, I realize there's nothing I can do to say to you that's going to make you repent and come on my terms as the sinner you are to the Savior I am. Therefore, fine, I'm going to cut you off. I will direct the folly you go for. And you, if you stick around long enough, you will meet people like this in your life who have been turned over to their lies. That writer, astronomer, Hawking, I think his name is, he's turned over to his lies. Now, am I saying there's no hope for him? Absolutely not. But I am saying in his present state, as far as we know, there is no hope. There's always hope with God so long as there's life. We don't know where these lines are. He does. We have to honor what is before us with the knowledge of what he has told us. Anyway, redeeming the time. Time works against those who refuse the leadership, the leading of the Lord. Who doesn't want to be led by God? Raise your hand. Raise your hand high and say, I never want God to show me what to do. I never want him to speak to me. Well, you can't do it. You would violate your own conscience if you're a believer. We all want God to direct us. The just shall live by faith. We walk by faith. But it is a difficult thing to be led by God. Why is that? Because of the distance the flesh creates. But if you're willing to wait, and wait implies suffering. Verse 6, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Always with grace, it says. That's uncorrupted. And with salt, that's tasteful. When you pray, say at a restaurant, you go in and order your food at night, and you say, Lord, I personally like prayers that aren't rehearsed. I prefer those. I prefer to speak to God with what's on my heart. I trust that he's put something on there or not. And sometimes it's, Lord, just thank you, and I start grubbing. Other times it's a little longer. Either way, when I'm with people, I try to remember to pray, Lord, bless our conversation, that it may be edifying, that the things we talk about as we stuff our face will be stuffed with things that glorify you. And it's based on such scriptures as this. Your speech is what comes out of the heart. That's the source. Let's trace what you said. Oh, it's down in the heart. Freud, in all of his era, and all of it was era, you know, that the whole Freudian slip. Well, you're actually thinking it. No, it's in the heart. It goes deeper than the head. It's in the heart. I said that a little bit too harsh. It goes deeper than the head. It's down in the heart. I was kind of on a momentum then. I couldn't stop. Uncorrupted and tasteful. And this is not easy. James says the tongue, how great a forest, a little fire will kindle. Now remember, that goes both ways. Sometimes the forest needs to be burned down. Sometimes it's a word of love that's going to burn down a forest of lovelessness. So we're not at this disadvantage, or we're not at a place where God is out of bullets. We have the Holy Spirit in us. He is real. The Holy Spirit is not the silent partner. He's not the one that comes at the end of the Trinity. He's not the one that we finished, you know, the Apostles' Creed with. He is as much God as the Father. They are equal. It is the Godhead. And he dwells with us. And so when the scripture says a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. It is true. What a wise, what a powerful proverb. A kind word turns back wrath. Salt is that which arrests. It's an arresting agent, and it's a season. It slows down the forward movement of corruption tastefully. And we try to do this. And sometimes, again, God calls for, you know, there were times that the prophets were sent to thunder. Even Peter and Paul, you know, Paul struck Elymas with blindness. And it was like, you know, hey, have a nice day. He's like, you're not going to see for a while. Boom. And he went blind. And you, Peter and Sapphira and Ananias, you know, to Sapphira, he says, you know, the feet of the men who carried your husband's dead body away are at the door. They're going to do the same to you. That's not much grace and salt, you'd say, right? But I'm not endorsing this. I'm balancing, at least making an attempt to make us understand that when we speak with salt, it's going to get in the wound, an open wound, if the person has one. And the open wound, metaphorically here, is unconfessed sin. That is an open wound. Sin that you're not even dealing with God or others who you need to be dealing with it. But I'm not talking about sins that God has kept beneath the surface, beneath the radar that you and he are dealing with. I'm talking about the ones that he has allowed to come up and they're visible and you are not repenting. To repent means to turn from. Repent doesn't mean to just simply agree with God. Yeah, you got a good point there, and that's the end of it. Repent means I'm going to do everything in my power to turn from this, to change circumstances. And so he says, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. We don't want our speech to be insulting. We want it to be insulating. We want it to be protected from the sin that lurks within our fallen nature. And knowing such verses really helps.
We are so glad you tuned in today to learn from the New Testament letter of Colossians on Cross Reference Radio. Cross Reference Radio is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville in Virginia. We're honored to be able to share God's word with you each time you tune in. If you'd like more information about this ministry or want to listen to additional teachings from Pastor Rick, please visit our website, crossreferenceradio.com. We also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast so you'll never have to miss a program. Just search for Cross Reference Radio in iTunes and Google Play Music or your favorite podcast app. We hope you'll tune in again next time to join us as we continue our study through the Bible right here on Cross Reference Radio.